This is the best of More Than Small Talk Season 1. Even if you have listened to this episode before, we hope you'll listen again and share it with someone who needs it.
I think we tend to think this story our scar is telling is, I'm broken, I'm weak.
Right.
I've been through a lot, you know, and then we think, well, I don't know if God can use me, or other people don't have this, or, you know, it's not a positive story. But really, we're saying, you know, when you look at the Jesus version of your scars.
Yeah.
It tells the story of, I'm strong, I'm healed, I'm brave, I've made it through things. Man, God has been good. You know, if I could make it through this, then so can you, you know? That's the story.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real-life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hello, fourth chair friends. Last week we talked about body unshaming, and this week we are moving on to what we're calling scarred and beautiful.
I want to give a shout out to a sweet fourth chair friend. Her name is Jane. She is actually my 7-year-old granddaughter. She left me a message that we all listened to today before we began our recording. And on it, she just said, I'm a fourth chair friend. And so I just want to do a shout out to my sweet, sweet Jane. The confession question today is interesting. If one of your scars could tell a story, what would it be? Now, Holly, you said that you might have to have an accident on the way here. Is that because you don't have very many scars?
I was like, I don't know if I have a scar. I did think of one thing, though. It's not exactly a scar, but I have a crooked finger. I'm showing it to Jennifer and Susie. It's like bent. So I was in junior high, and my little brother's 3 years younger than I am, and we're at youth group, and he was playing basketball, and someone took his ball. So I chased this kid across the parking lot, grabbed his shirt and twisted it and was like, give back my brother's ball. And he yanked away so hard that it fractured my finger.
Oh my goodness.
I had to go to the ER, and like, it didn't actually hurt that bad, but I had to go get it taken care of. And they're like, either surgery and pins or your finger can be crooked. And, you know, I'm 12. I'm like, crooked. I'll show all my friends, you know, so I to this day have a slightly crooked finger.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. See, and that's so good because you didn't have to, like, we didn't have to push her down a hill.
Yeah, no, I know. So I didn't have to create a scar between when we prepped and recorded.
Okay, so I have one. My lip was split in two, like, actually from front to back, completely in half. I was helping my mentor pack, and she had one of those heavy duty industrial packing tape dispensers. And so I was talking 90 to nothing. It was after my first She Speaks. So it's summertime. I have my cue updo, and I am talking and telling the story, and I'm helping her pack. I'm like, I'm OCD. I can help you pack, and we are going to get this done. But I'm also kind of klutzy and a dork. So I'm taping this, and it flies back and pops up and hits me in the lip, the metal part, you know, that cuts. And it's immediately gushed, you know. And so I was holding my lip together, and like, I love my lips. I love lipstick. You know, I just said this in the last episode. I love my lips. And I was like, oh, dear Jesus, I'm holding my lip together. And I was in complete shock. And I'm like, I need to go to the hospital right now. So my mentor is like, oh my goodness, oh, let me see it. And I'm like, oh no, I'm holding my lip together. And so they get me ice and they get me a towel, and I'm bleeding and I'm holding my lip together. I get in the car and she's speeding, and she puts on her lip liner as she's speeding and going to the hospital. And so I have this great little scar from helping my mentor. But I also have a stellar, epic story. I had to get 2 shots and then 2 stitches to pull my lips back together. And it was awful. You even saw me, remember?
Yes.
We went to have Mexican food.
Yes.
And they were not pretty stitches. They were black, and they were hanging out of my lip. And
I didn't expect this episode to be so gross. So anyways, I'm starting to get freaked out. Like, I can't watch ER, Grey's Anatomy. Like, I can't even get blood taken.
Well, I will post some pictures of my lip incidents. Oh, mercy. Yeah, and you can just, like, you can block me. Yeah. But, yeah, that happened, and that's the story that I'm a dork, but I'm super helpful, and that happened.
So, you know, I have a lot of scars. I really do, because I have this giant scar on my shoulder from where I had melanoma, and then I have a scar on my lip where that I also had cancer, and I've had breast cancer. So I got scars. I got scars. But one of my most story-driven places on my body, I broke my collarbone in half. And so I have this nice little, like, lump here that you can feel. The grandkids love feeling it. It's kind of funky. But one day I was going through the house and I saw my husband, and this is a G-rated story, just so you know. My husband is sitting on the edge of the bed, and he's fully clothed, and he's about to make a phone call. And I just, something crazy came over me, and I just came racing around the corner and dove at him like Superwoman. And I was just going to dive on him and tickle him. And Richard, I'm so sorry I'm telling this story. But anyway, he saw me coming, thought it was hilarious. He went to the other direction, and I flew past him over the bed, and I landed on the hardwood floor on my shoulder, and I broke my collarbone in half. And all I could think of in that moment, other than this hurts worse than anything I have ever been through, is what am I going to tell them at the hospital? I am a grown woman, and I thought I would jump on my husband and I would tackle him, and I missed. And so anyway, the reason that the story behind this is so fun is that my kids ran with this. We were at the hospital, and my shoulder had come out of the socket. So they were putting that back in. They were trying to put the bones together, and I'm up against the wall, and I hear my husband, who's very distressed because I was in pain and I was crying. And he thought it was his fault, and it was. Aww. And so,
because you pounced on him,
the man should have taken his tickling. But anyway, I hear him on the phone saying to my son, my at that point college age son, saying, "Son, we're at the hospital, and it's bad. Mom's broken her collarbone. We were playing on the bed." And I was like, no. And so anyway, that was on Facebook in less than 2 minutes. My mom and my dad were frolicking. And yeah. Anyway, G-rated story, yes, for sure. But they have run with that. It's been a lot of years now, and they love telling that story. So the story behind that for me is just that I'm ridiculous. And being goofy and fun is something that I do. And it, you know, yeah, I have a scar that says that we still have fun. I don't know. Yes.
And yeah, really, you know, this was kind of a fun warm up question. Yeah. And we're really, obviously, you probably figured out, going to be talking about our metaphorical scars, yeah, the places in our lives that we feel like are broken. But I did think, you know, while we were sharing stories, all of those scars happen in connection with other people. Mm. Yeah. Like, I was defending someone, yeah, and I got a scar.
I was being
you
goofy.
You were trying to help someone, yeah, and you got a scar. And then you were trying to connect, you know,
and be goofy. In the bedroom.
Yeah, and be, yeah, goofy, silly, and you got a scar. So I think that's how it works sometimes with our other scars too, that we go in with good intentions, and then we think, what in the world happened? And we end up with this kind of emotional scar, right, you know, right, that we carry away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, after this, you know, I can tell it and say it was funny, but, like, I had to go to church, and I had, everybody could see my lips and everybody could see those stitches. And it was one of those things where people would say, oh, you're going to need a plastic surgeon, you know, and, like, yeah, all of those things. But it's one of those things that when we feel vulnerable and, like, our scars are out on display and we haven't made peace with it, it's hard to hear those things. So what's something that's helped you make peace with some of your inner scars?
Oh gosh, we're going deep.
I'm going there. Yes.
And you know, forgive me for my story, because like you might have listened to that and thought she's absolutely crazy. But I want you to know that the reason that means so much to me is that having a home and a relationship where I can just be completely myself and be silly you know, it really feels safe to me. It feels good to me because I've got some scars that come from a long time ago that you can't see. Mm-hmm. And God has done an incredible healing. And the fact that I feel free enough to be in that with a relationship with someone close to me is evidence of that healing.
Yeah. And I love that because, you know, like I said, we all got wounded in relationship, but we also all got healed in relationship.
Yeah.
They're, you know, literally going to a doctor. We all needed assistance with our healing, which might look like a counselor in our lives or, you know, being married to someone who's healing or a friend who's healing, you know, whatever that looks like. I've heard people say, you know, we break in relationships and we heal in relationships.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I think, like you said, Jennifer, the tendency is to be like, look away, don't, you know, don't look at this wound in my life. But we actually need that in order to start healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I had surgery a year ago on my face. It came after they found melanoma on my shoulder. So I have a really hefty 4-inch scar there. And all I could think of when they were doing that was, man, there's a lot of other places where a 4-inch reduction would have been much more welcome. But they were taking the stitches out of there. And he said, oh, I see something on your lip. And I thought, crud, you know? So that ended up being a surgery. And I had several stitches from inside my mouth into my nose. And they did a great job, a really, really great job. I thought it was going to be completely disfiguring. Well, the other day I did a video. And it's a video that matters to me. It's something that's going to be shown publicly. And the way that they did the lighting, the whole video, you can see the scar into my lip, up into my nose. It just caught it. The light caught it. And I thought, I can't have this be this public video. And then I thought, why can't I?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't I? It is on my face. It is there. It just so happens the light caught it. And this scar that I bear on my face means that I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay. They caught it. They were able to get it. So why wouldn't I just, and I have a friend named Michelle Couchat, and you guys know who she is. And I went on her blog the other day and I was looking at her video, and in her video, she's showing her scars from battling cancer of the tongue. And she begins to say, this is this scar, this is this scar. And she's showing in it, I'm still alive. I'm still surviving. Mm-hmm. Not only am I just surviving, I'm doing really well because God is a healer.
Yeah.
You know, of my heart.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't we show our scars?
Why wouldn't we? Well, and I would say my scars have been the best success stories. Like, in all honesty, that's the reason why I have ministry, because I had scars in my childhood where I was insecure and I felt inferior and I was, you know, I was verbally and physically abused and I really didn't think very much of myself.
Yeah.
And for me to overcome that, I mean, that just means anybody else can. And why wouldn't I share that?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I share that I shut down because I didn't feel smart enough or good enough, but now I'm on a podcast or I'm writing words. You know, and I thought that I was stupid.
And you're a great mom, and you've created
all
a safe
of these
home
things.
For your children.
Yeah, that I'm whole and
you're a
healed.
Generation breaker.
Yes.
I mean, literally, yes.
Like, I'm a miracle.
Yeah.
You know, my scars are my success stories. They really are because God has mended me.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important question to ask, like, what story is my scar telling, really?
Yeah.
Because I think we tend to think this story our scar is telling is, I'm broken, I'm weak,
right?
I've been through a lot, you know? And then we think, well, I don't know if God can use me, or other people don't have this, or, you know, it's not a positive story. But really, we're saying, you know, when you look at the Jesus version of your scars, it tells the story of, I'm strong, I'm healed, I'm brave, I've made it through things. Man, God has been good. You know, if I could make it through this, then so can you, you know? That's the story. And I wonder if maybe that's why the enemy doesn't want us to tell our scar stories.
I agree.
You know, because we follow a Savior who had some pretty important scars.
Yeah, he did.
You know?
And think about this, Holly. Okay, so Jesus appears to the men right after being resurrected. He is still in his resurrected body.
Mm-hmm.
It is shimmering with glory. He has conquered hell, death, and the grave. And yet, what does he say to Andrew? What does he say to them? See my scars.
Yes.
Feel my scars. He literally has a resurrected body, but still bears his scars.
Yeah, wow. Because that's how they knew him.
And that's how, but not only is that how they knew him, but the story of those scars was, I fought for you.
Yes.
That's powerful. That's powerful. He could have come back without scars. He didn't. He went through all of that, stood there in all of his glory and said, see my scars. Mm. Andrew, feel the scars in my feet and my hands. It's powerful.
Yeah. It is. And I love that he invited people into those places.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, he literally said, come and feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's powerful. I've had people say, like, here's this scar. Like, come and feel it. Like, it makes me feel like, okay, all right. If they made it, then so can I. Or, you know, I'm not alone in my pain or whatever it is. But I think that's a powerful invitation.
Yeah. When I think about the way that my daughters ran to me after they fell down and scraped their knees and had these gashing wounds, they wanted me to see it.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted me to see it, but they wanted me to do something about it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a beautiful thing about coming to the Lord with our scars is he already knows them. But when we say, this is where it's at, and maybe it's not healed yet, but I need you to see it. Yeah. I need you to take care of it. And then later you're going to show me what to do with it.
Right.
You know, and that's the powerful thing about scars and why I think they're so beautiful.
Yeah.
Scars are not proof of our woundedness. They're proof of our healing.
Yes. So good.
That's really good.
Yeah, so this is a metaphorical conversation we're having, but we do like to take it to a practical level. So I picture maybe a woman listening right now who's in her car or maybe cleaning her house or picking up her kids. And she's just, you know, saying, I have a scar that I still have some shame about. I'm not sure what to do with it. Like, is there a practical way to say, here's how to just start thinking about our scars a little differently than maybe we have before?
Yeah. Well, something that I always say is if it still stings, then it's not healed. Like it's still a wound. So if it's not healed, that means pay attention to it. Yeah. I think our pain is saying, pay attention to me, you know? So if it still hurts, then you're not over it and it's not healed. And then like sharing our stories with someone, you know, I think that that's powerful for us to share our scarred stories with other people.
Yeah.
With discernment. Because I think, too, I use this boundary, you know, if it still hurts, probably Facebook.
Not that.
I know you agree with that. So.
Yes.
Well, I know that I have sat across from young women in the past and they've looked at me and they've said, you have no idea what I've been through, Susie Eller. You look at you sitting there with your, you know, your jeans and your look like you got it all together. And I don't know why I said jeans, but, you know, just from the outside looking in, you look like you got it all together. And to be able to sit with them and say, this is a scar that I once had because of some things I went through. And this is how it made me look at life and made me look at myself, but this is what I've learned. And so being able to share one-to-one with someone else out of healing, Holly, that's really an important distinction because our stories are for our journal and for our God.
Yeah. And our counselor.
And our counselor.
And our BFFs.
In the process of healing. But as God is healing and after the process of healing, to be able to turn around and sit with someone else and say, I see your scars. Mm. Can I show you mine?
Yeah.
But can I also show you the healing that came out of that? I think that's really important.
So good.
God uses that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's a process even that we see with Jesus, right? Like he went to the cross, he was wounded. Then there was this in-between period where he was hidden. You know, and that was God's plan.
Yeah.
And then he was healed and came out and shared, which I don't want anyone to feel like I can't be used by God until I'm healed because none of us are fully healed until heaven. Right. We're just saying use wisdom with when and where you share your scar stories because they are precious.
Yes. They are precious. Also, I think about the story when Jesus met the woman at the well. And she immediately turned and ran to say, this was the one who told me everything I had ever done. And so what she did right there in that process of healing, she began to tell her story, but she was telling the story of who Jesus was and what he was doing. And what a beautiful thing that we can all do.
So I think even practically, you know, taking 10 minutes and write a new version of your scar story.
Yeah,
you know,
that's good.
Just like pull out a scrap piece of paper and just write down, okay, what is the real story behind the scar and who else might need to hear it?
Yeah.
And if you are going through something right now, or even if you just want to remember that you are a strong, brave, loved woman, I have a new devotional coming out, which is called Strong, Brave, Loved, Empowering Reminders of Who God Says You Are. And so I think we need to know our stories, but we also need to listen over and over again to the stories God tells us about our true identity. And that's what this devotional does. It's 60 days and it has scriptures and prayers and prompts. And I would love for you to have that as a tool in your life. And I will be putting together an online study to go through it together also. So it releases October 1st. And I'm looking forward to that being available soon. So whatever your scars are today, just know that they are beautiful, that they are going to be used for a purpose, and that they are not a reason for shame, but a way that you can bring God glory. And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on KLRC.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.